The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Ava Lewis reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and the title of this segment is called Ebony. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Why Lala Anthony Likes Keeping Hollywood Guessing. Fan obsessed with cooking shows know it's hard to fake knife skills on TV. If an actress doesn't know how to Juliana Carrot, someone is going to call her out on social media. So Lala Anthony had to perfect her knife game in order to convincingly play Dominique, quote unquote, Dom Morris, as a chef who does it for the culture and not the she money on the chi. I'm not much of a cook. I'm probably the worst cook. Breakfast is the only thing I can kind of do, Anthony says, laughing during a Zoom call. The first day, they were like, you can't hold the knife like that. You're going to cut your finger. I learned a lot, and I was able to make it look like I know what I'm doing in the kitchen. At first glance, it's hard to know what to make of Dom when Emmett Washington, played by Jacob Lattimore, pops up on her stoop in season 3. She's direct, driven, and cheeky, unlike some of the women Emmett's been able to charm in the first 2 seasons. Although Dom doesn't know Emmett, she's heard about the large weapon of ass destruction in his pants, and she demands to see it. And Emmett, even though he's there for business and not pleasure, gives her a peek. If Chi fans were worried about the state of the show now that Jason Mitchell's Brandon Johnson was killed off the series, they shouldn't be. Mitchell was booted from the show following allegations of sexual misconduct. There's plenty of juiciness to go around with expanded storylines that touch on topical issues, recurring characters, and the chemistry between Dom and the entrepreneurial but messy Emmett. Emmett persuades Dom to be the chef at his after-hours situation at Sonny's Chicken Pit without the owner's permission. Sensing the opportunity to secure the bag and get her food into more people's mouths, Dom agrees. Anthony says fans will relate to Dom's go-getter spirit. I definitely want Dom to be relatable to the Chicago audience, but relatable to women who are trying to get businesses off the ground and be super independent. I want people to relate to the struggle of trying to do things the right way, because in that environment, it's easy to make the wrong decision, says the actress, whose interest in cooking has increased since joining the cast. Anthony didn't have much downtime after ending her chapter as Ride or Die Lakeisha Grant on Power, and then starting her gig on The Chi. But as she was eager to jump into the role, especially since people had gotten used to seeing her on the small screen, the actress knew it was time to find a new mountain to climb, and she ended up flexing her talent during an audition for Lena Waithe and her crew. Anthony's closest friends know that she loves a challenge, and she's not about to take rejection to heart just because the person sitting across from the table refuses to see the vision she has for herself. I've been told no my whole life, or why something isn't going to work. They said, you're never going to go from radio personality to VJ. Okay, I did that. They said, you're never going to go from VJ to producer. Yeah, I did that. Then it was, you're definitely not going to go from producer to actor. I did that, the actress says, smoothing her hair into a bun. I love proving people wrong, but I also love proving to myself that I can do it. That's what keeps me going. For the woman who has racked up acting credits on everything from Law and Order, SVU, to Think Like a Man, to the New Edition story, to Power, there's more to life than adding dope projects to her resume. These days, folks expect their favorite celebrities to be vocal about issues. I'm building a legacy that me and my family and my son can look back on and say, wow, my mom was part of the Black Lives Matter movement. She was a part of these calls to action, a part of the protest, a part of using her platform, says the actress, who's developed a relationship with Breonna Taylor's family. Taylor was the 26-year-old ER tech who was killed in her home by police in Louisville, Kentucky. The mom of her 13-year-old son says, we weren't blessed to be in these positions and not do anything about it. You don't just throw up a hashtag and keep it moving. The next article is titled, Jada Pinkett Smith Confirms Past Relationship with August Alsina Happened While Separated from Will Smith. Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith are one of Black Hollywood's most beloved couples. But like most marriages, theirs has been through its fair share of tests. During a new episode of Red Table Talk, the Smiths sat down for a candid conversation to address the swirling rumors that Jada and singer August Alsina were once in a relationship, and Will gave him his blessing. Alsina made his brief romance with the actress public during a sit-down interview with Angela Yee last week. Delivering on her promise to address things on her platform, Jada sat down with Will and answered the world's burning question. I felt like it was really important to come to the table and clear the air, Jada says as the episode begins. 4.5 years ago, I started a friendship with August and we actually became really, really good friends, she continued. And it all started with him just needing some help, me wanting to help his health, his mental state. Will and Jada both say that August was really sick when they first met him through their son, Jaden. The outpouring for him from our family was initially about his health, she continued. We found all those different resources to help pull him through, and from there, you and I were going through a very difficult time. Smith bluntly responds, I was done with you. We broke up, Jada added. We decided that we were going to separate for a period of time. Jada then explains that while separated from Will, her friendship with Alsina turned romantic. From there, as time went on, I got into a different kind of entanglement with August. One thing I want to clean up is about you giving permission. Jada says to Will, the only person that can give permission in that circumstance is myself. But what August was probably trying to communicate, because I could see how he could see it as permission, but because we were separated. And I think he wanted to make it clear he's not a homewrecker because he's not. Jada says Alsina ceased all communication with her once she and Will began the process of reconciling. She says she doesn't look at her relationship with him as a transgression, but rather a journey of self-discovery. I was in a lot of pain, and I was very broken. In the process, I definitely realized that you can't find happiness outside of yourself. When Will inquires about what Jada was looking for in all that relationship, she admits, "I just wanted to feel good. It had been so long since I felt good, and it was really a joy to sit, and it was really a joy to just help heal somebody. I think that has a lot to do with my codependency, which is another thing I had to learn to break in the cycle. Being drawn to people that need help. There's something about my childhood trauma that feels it can be fixed through fixing people versus fixing me." Jada said she's ultimately grateful that she and Will are in a place of unconditional love. The title of the next article is called "This Company is Giving Away 100 Nights of Rest to Black People in Need of a Little Self-Care." Hopefully by now, Black women are beginning to recognize that self-care is the ultimate form of resistance in the fight for justice and equality. And for many, indulging in self-care means escaping to our favorite beach or country locale for a bit of rest and relaxation. Getaway, a company that builds collections of tiny, comfortable, carefully curated cabins situated in the middle of nature, gets it. Conveniently located within a 2-hour drive from most major U.S. cities, the 5-year-old business helps guests escape the daily grind of everyday life and appreciate the quiet beauty of nature, something we're in need of now more than perhaps ever before. It's the ultimate retreat for Black women to practice self-care so we can recharge, refresh, and rewire for action. Caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It's self-preservation. And that is an act of political warfare. The late Black lesbian feminist, essayist, poet, and activist Andre Lorde wrote in her 1988 essay collection, A Burst of Light, in partnership with the Loveland Foundation, founder Rachel Cargill, 100 Nights of Rest Getaway is giving 100 free getaways to Black people in need of a little self-preservation. Whether we're fighting the good fight on the front lines or in a boardroom, virtually, of course, many of us could benefit from a night of rest. Through September 24th, you can nominate Black people working for change or those fighting for the Black community, no matter the industry, on Getaway's site, explaining why your nominee deserves a night of rest. You'll also have to choose a preferred location from one of Getaway's 11 options, near cities like Austin, Los Angeles, and Portland, for your nominee to stay. Recipients of a night of rest will be contacted weekly on Instagram and will receive $200 to cover transportation and food costs during their stay. The one-night stay will also never expire, says Getaway, and can be taken at any time. Cargo, whose foundation provides mental health resources for Black girls and women, cited a recent restful weekend of her own as the catalyst for the partnership in an Instagram post. Everything about the experience, from location, minimalist cabin design, and absence of Wi-Fi, helps guests unplug from the stress of daily life, reset, and embrace simple pleasures like a quiet walk in the woods and a roaring campfire. Getaway's tiny cabins, complete with air conditioning, a bathroom, a shower, a kitchen, a sitting area, and a queen-size bed, are a near-perfect escape from city life. Also, to ensure guest safety, Getaway has implemented social distancing and routine cleaning procedures such as self-check-in, reduced capacity, an absence of communal spaces, and cabins space at least 50 to 150 feet apart. As Cargill noted, Black people staying alive and well is the resistance, because that's what they tried to rob us of generation after generation. Getaway's 11 outposts are located outside Atlanta and Austin, San Antonio, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, Portland, Oregon, and Washington, D.C., with more on the way this year. The next article is called Calls for Goya Food Boycott Emerge After CEO Praises Trump. Goya Foods is the latest household brand coming under fire for its support of impeached President Donald Trump. On Thursday, the CEO of the Hispanic-owned food brand attended a White House meeting where he praised Trump for his presumed leadership skills. "We're all truly blessed at the same time to have a leader like President Trump, who is a builder," Goya Foods chief executive Robert said at the White House. The reaction on Twitter was swift, with users calling on Americans to hashtag boycott Goya, hashtag Goya Way also started trending. Former Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julian Castro weighed in on the controversy by saying, "At Goya Foods has been a staple of so many Latino households for generations. Now their CEO, Bob, is praising a president who villainizes and maliciously attacks Latinos for political gain. Americans should think twice before buying their products." Goya's consumer base is made up mostly of people from Black and Brown communities who use the brand often in their cooking. These customers also happen to be among groups most targeted by Trump's racist actions, in addition to having a history of showing disdain toward immigrants of Hispanic and West Indian nationalities. Trump's handling of the hurricanes in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands left many of Caribbean descent feeling that he did not care about their plight. According to NBC News, CEO of Goya was at the White House for the signing of an executive order that would expand on the Hispanic Prosperity Initiative. It includes taxpayer support for school choice and tax benefits for businesses that develop in urban neighborhoods. The brand has not commented publicly on the backlash. Instead, on Friday, it tweeted out an announcement originally made during the meeting at the White House. "Goya continues to work for the prosperity and education of our country," the tweet read. Hashtag Goya gives 2 million pounds of food to food banks across the nation who are in desperate need of food for families impacted by COVID-19. The next article is titled, Actors Keisha Knight Pulliam and Brad James made memories on their boat date. House of Pain actress Keisha Knight Pulliam is totally in love with her boo, actor Brad James. To show him love on his 39th birthday, the handsome couple spent a day on out on the water as a perfect social distancing date. Pulliam let the world know just how much her man is loved with an endearing Instagram post. "Happy birthday, my love. Let's keep creating amazing memories every day." She captioned a series of photos from their day out on the water. "Love you to infinity and beyond," she said in her best Buzz Lightyear voice. Pulliam and James, who went public with their relationship in 2019, are both hardworking actors. Pulliam got her start on The Cosby Show, as the beloved Rudy and went out to score more roles, as well as her own cooking platform called Keisha's Kitchen. James is known on his role in Tyler Perry's For Better or Worse and the UMC show A House Divided. The pair met on the set of the TV movie Pride and Prejudice. Honestly, we just hit it off. We had a lot of downtime, Pulliam once said during an Instagram Live. There was a lot going on filming that project, so there were plenty of times we would all be sitting in the cast seats in the van and just talking. After the two exchanged numbers to discuss scripts they wanted each other's feedback on, their chemistry ignited and things soon took a romantic turn. Before meeting James, Pulliam was married to ex-NFL star Ed Hartwell, with whom she shares a daughter named Ella. The next article is titled Scholastic and Marvel to Release Graphic Novel Based on Black Panther Suri. Suri will be conquering another area of Marvel Universe. The bookshelf Marvel Entertainment announced it's working with Scholastic on a series of graphic novels, including some that follow our favorite Wakandian tech guru. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the partnership is a multi-year publishing agreement with Scholastic's graphic media imprint that will exclusively feature Marvel characters. The first book in the series will feature Miles Morales as Spider-Man. The second book in the series will focus on Black Panther's Suri. It will be written by New York Times best-selling author Roseanne A. Brown. Brown's previous work includes the mystical young adult novel, A Song of Rafts in Ruin. No information has been released on the name of the book or which artist will be illustrating it. So the Suri graphic novel artist hasn't been announced yet. More on that soon. Plus, the title, wrote Brown on Twitter. Our relationship with Marvel publishing team is a true collaboration and partnership, said Scholastic's VP and publisher, licensing, media, and brands, Deborah Dorfman. Marvel has already begun publishing diverse picture books, including the recently released Beware, the Flerkin and their prose title Suri, a Black Panther novel which was written by New York Times bestseller author Nick Stone. As we grow our OGN list and licensing under graphics media, we can't think of a better team to work with. How lucky we have been to have Justin A. Reynolds and Pablo Leon collaborating on the first book about Miles Morales. We are equally as thrilled to welcome Nadia Shamas and Roseanne A. Brown to Scholastic, she concluded. The next article is titled Church Under Fire for Putting Up No Trespassing Signs Intended to Keep Black Women Off Property. A church in North Hollywood, California, is receiving backlash after its volunteers put up no trespassing signs when they saw a young black woman sitting under a tree. The church has since apologized. According to local CBS affiliate CBS LA, Alex Marshall Brown sat under a tree outside of the St. Paul Lutheran Church to do work. As she was sitting there, two men from the church approached the area where she was sitting with signs in tow. As they began nailing them to the tree, Marshall Brown can be heard telling the men that their actions are unwarranted. I'm clearly not bothering anybody. I'm clearly sitting here doing work, so this is in excess of anything that needs to happen, she says. When Marshall Brown asked the men if they brought the signs just because she was sitting there, one of them confirms that the signs were being placed there just for her. You know, we used to be real nice about it, he says in response to her query an implication that the church was going against its own morals by discouraging and denying her shelter. Not anymore. A split second later, the same male volunteer, unprovoked, tells Marshall Brown, "All lives matter," and confirms that they are putting the signs up as a precursor to calling the police on her. The exchange was caught on video and posted to social media, which caught the attention of nearby activists in San Diego Volterra, the acting principal of St. Paul's School. On Facebook, the church addressed Tuesday's events, saying that the situation was handled in a way that was not representative of the church or the school. The church also confirmed that the volunteers who were involved in the exchange chose to voluntarily step down from their positions. "I am personally offended by what I saw in the video and would like to apologize on behalf of St. Paul's First," Botero said. "As Christians, it is our duty to demonstrate to others the love and mercy that Christ shows to us. Unfortunately, this did not happen yesterday." While the church argues that Marshall Brown was in violation of its no loitering policy, which is intended to keep the kids of the school safe, it is said that she was clearly not posing a threat and the situation should have been handled very differently. A demonstration was held in front of St. Paul's First on Wednesday night in response to the actions by the volunteers and a parishioner. Another one is being planned for Sunday. St. Paul's has promised Marshall Brown it will seek racial bias training to prevent another incident like this one she experienced. The next article is titled, "Oprah Winfrey Teams Up with Nicole Hannah Jones to Bring the 1619 Project to Hollywood." Media behemoth Oprah Winfrey has partnered with Lionsgate and the New York Times to help produce and develop Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Nicole Hannah Jones' investigative interactive series, The 1619 Project, and the New York Times podcast, 1619, into an expansive portfolio of films, television series, and documentaries, unscripted programming, and other forms of entertainment, an official press release announced Wednesday. Well, it looks like we have run out of time for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ebony is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.